Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
It doesn't take too long of examining the scripture before one reaches the conclusion that God is a merciful God. He is gracious. Secondly, we know that God is not a respecter of people, meaning he has no favorites. Now, he calls certain individuals for a unique, a special task, a unique calling, but that calling which is given to that individual usually has broad implications. That is, it is to bless numerous people. And we also know that God is a God of perfect foreknowledge, and he uses that foreknowledge in order to choose perfectly, and God always does. Well, with that said, take out your Bible and look with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 21. The book of Genesis and chapter 21. Now, we began that chapter last week, and we're going to conclude it in this session. And you might recall that Hagar and her son Ishmael, they were banished. They were cast out of Abraham's house. And the reason for this is to emphasize this covenant that God made with Abraham is through the child of promise. One thing that we could say is that there's a relationship between covenant and promise. And specifically, this promise is not through the child of the flesh, not through doubt, but rather this promise of the covenant is based upon faith in order that God's purposes and not man's might be established. Last week, because Hagar and Ishmael was cast out, they went into the wilderness. They had a provision of a jug of water. Now, that word can also maybe be skins that contain water inside, like there's wine skins, there's skins for water as well. So they finished that water. They were in the desert, and Hagar reached despair. She set her son Ishmael underneath a tree, and there she assumed that he was going to die. She went a little further in order that she did not have to look at this death, and she began to weep. And that was the last thing that we talked about, that Hagar began to weep. And now, let's begin this week's study. Chapter 21, the book of Genesis, and now we're ready for verse 17. Now, even though that Hagar wept, notice what the scripture says, and God heard the voice of the young man. In other words, he heard the sound of the voice of Ishmael. Now, this is significant because you would expect, because we were told at the end of verse 16 that it was Hagar that was crying. She lifted up her voice in despair. But God did not hear her. The scripture says he heard Ishmael. And why would that be the case? Because Hagar is suffering the consequences of her own sin. Remember when she began to put herself over Sarah, to want to replace her and become the preferred wife? When Hagar was not a wife, but she was a maidservant. She was used improperly, not according to God's will, but nevertheless she was used in Sarah's faithlessness to try to fulfill God's promise in the flesh rather than according to the word of God. and Hagar exalted herself over, and because of that, and that same spirit went into her son, we saw last week that he displayed some of that same characteristics, but she is the source of it. So as she is crying out, God doesn't hear her. He hears the son. He hears Ishmael. So God heard the voice of this young man, and the angel of God called to Hagar. Now, what are we learning here? There's a principle. And one of the things that needs to be emphasized is that the scripture is written, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it is written down in a way to convey spiritual truth, principles from the Word of God. And here's what we learn. Now, naturally, we would think because it's Hagar that is crying, that's what we are told, that the angel would hear that voice. But it did not. The scripture says God heard the Na'ar, this young man. And here's the biblical truth. It is by this child that was born that Hagar is going to find provision, to find God's blessing, to find life. And it's trying to teach us a principle. And that is through the son. And this is a vital thing that we understand. The scripture is laying a foundation. It's hinting at a biblical principle. It is through the son that one finds life. It is because of his position that this woman is going to be saved. And that is indeed an important biblical truth. So we read that the angel of God called to Hagar from the heavens, and he said unto her, what, literally, is to you, Hagar? Do not fear. Now, here's another important principle. Fear, biblically speaking, is the opposite of faith. So he's teaching her, don't fear, but rather be faithful. And it's when we fear that we begin to operate in the flesh. But when we exercise faith, we are going to become the recipient of God's provision in our life. So this principle here is being taught to us through Hagar and Ishmael. And what is the reason for this? Well, as we began earlier on, God is not a respecter of people. This same spiritual truth, if it's applied and used by Abraham and Sarah with Yitzchak, it produces a result. And likewise, this same biblical truth, if Hagar and Ishmael would utilize God's truth, they would also find his provision, his sustenance for life. And that's what the scripture is revealing to us. So we find once more, and this angel said to her, what is to you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the young man. Now, what do we find? A repetition. And when there's a repetition, especially so close together, where we're told in the previous verse, God heard the Na'ar, the young man, and now once more, we find that same sentence being repeated. It is for emphasis and to teach us to underscore a principle. And that is a principle that we just learned. She is benefiting from the son. And the principle for us is as well. We only find sustenance. We only find that which gives life. We only find blessing through the son. We're unworthy. God does not recognize us for who we are. He recognizes us because of a relationship we have with the Son. That's what he's teaching here. So verse 17 at the end. For God heard the voice of the Na'ar. I want to talk a few minutes about this. Now, normally a Na'ar is a young man. But that word is used many places in the scripture to denote to denote a very young child. So because of other information, we know at this time that Ishmael is a young man in his early teens. So God heard the voice of Ishmael just as he is there, which means in that present state. Now, we learn another principle. There was nothing that Ishmael did. He was in his natural state. But God, according to his principles, heard him because he wanted to reveal truth. And he became a recipient. It wasn't that, in this case, that Ishmael had some merit in and of himself. But it was because God chose to favor him. And God is free to do that. He was not obligated. He did not have to. So we're seeing in the end of this verse a description, a definition of God's grace. Now, verse 18. He speaks, and once again, the angel is speaking to Hagar, and he says, "Rise up, take up this young man, and strengthen your hand upon him, because he will be, literally, I will set him for Goy Gadol, a great nation." Now, here again, this is a example of God's favor. Ishmael didn't deserve it. He's not the child of promise. But yet, God, in this passage, is showing us how he desires to bless, how he delights in giving us what we don't deserve. It is an outcome of mercy. It's an outcome of grace. It's an outcome of God manifesting his nature, being a blessed God. And once again, what the scripture's doing here is teaching us principles. We're learning things about God and godly truth from the scripture. Well, continue on, verse 19. "And God opened up the eyes," literally her eyes, "and she looked, and there was," literally, "bare mind, a well of water. And she went and she filled up this jar," or skins, and it says these skins of wine, "and she gave drink to this young man," or Ishmael. Now, she was thirsty. But we see something. We see now a sacrificial character. She gave drink first and foremost to her son. And this is an example of love. So these principles that we're seeing here in this passage of scripture about God being merciful, God extending favor, God blessing, God sustaining life, all of those things. Why does he do it? Because he's a God of love. He's a God that has a sacrificial love. He gives not what we deserve, but he gives according to his desire to bless. And we see Hagar demonstrating that at the end of this verse. Look now to verse 20. "And it came about that God was with this young man, and he grew." Now, God said that this young man was going to become a Goy Gadol, a great nation. And what do we learn? Well, we learn that he is growing, he's becoming great. Literally, it's the same Hebrew word, Gadol. One is in the noun form. Now, we are countering that same word in the verbal form. And what is this to speak of? God's faithfulness. God says one thing, and he's going to carry it out. He is going to be a fulfiller of promise. He keeps his word. Now, why is that important? Well, it's important because we're going to move into another part of this chapter. And the emphasis of this part of that chapter is covenant. So it's vital that we see that God is a keeper of his word. And because God keeps his word, we can have faith in his covenantal promises. We should want to have a covenantal relationship with God. So we read, and God was with this young man. He became great, Vayigdal, and he dwelt in the wilderness, and he became a mighty archer. Now, what we see here is a description of something that is natural. He became not spiritually wise, not a prophet, not a discerner of spiritual truth, but what it says is he became a mighty or a great archer. Now, why is that important? Well, through the scripture, we see that a keshet is, and that is an art, or a bow, we see that is a term of a weapon or physical strength. So when it says that he became a mighty archer, he became great with the bow, is another way that we could translate it. It's speaking about his physical aspect. And so when God says, I'm going to make him a great nation, it's speaking about, here the example is physically, not necessarily spiritual. Why? Well, what we find here is that God did not enter into a covenant with Ishmael and Hagar. Rather, we find that the covenant that God entered into was through Abraham and Yitzchak, Yaakov, and the children of Israel. So this is being discerned in this passage of Scripture. So the promise that God made to Israel was one of natural blessings, not necessarily spiritual blessings. You say that's unfair. No. He can find those spiritual blessings, but he has to find them in this covenant that God made through this promise of Isaac, through that family, not replacing this family. And why do we know that it's a blessing of the flesh, of the physical? Well, if we keep reading, it becomes very clear. Look now to verse 21. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took for him a wife from the land of Egypt. Now, Egypt, we've talked about this. Egypt is synonymous with the world. So the blessings that he has for becoming this great nation is a worldly blessing, not a spiritual one. No, the spiritual one is going to come from Abraham. And now notice how the text goes back, and there's a change beginning in verse 22. Verse 22, and it came about at that time. Now that phrase is informative. At what time? At the time that this was going on. So this phrase, Vayehi be'etahi, and it came about at that time, is hermeneutically significant. It's tying these two things together, that they work together to reveal, to clarify what God wants us to realize about what has just happened. It gives us a proper tool for understanding it rightly. Verse 22, and it came about at that time that Avimelech said, and Pichol, who was his ruler of his army, his cabinet minister, you might say, his general, to Avram. So these men are speaking to Abraham, and they're saying, God is with you in all which you have done. Now, here again, in the same way that Vayehi Be'etahi is a key hermeneutical aid to help us understand the right way of using this passage of Scripture. This phrase that I just read in the text, where Avimelech and Pichol is saying, God is with you, Be'kol Asherata Asa, in everything which you have done. Now, this also helps us to understand that up until this time, in everything that Abraham has done, God has been with him. Now, the rabbinical commentaries will say, with one exception, and what is that? When he took Hagar to be the mother of his child. That did not come from divine revelation. That came from Sarah's mouth, her insecurity, and her faithlessness. But when God spoke to Abraham in every other situation, he did so. Abraham did so, responded to him in obedience. And that is further supported in the previous chapter where God says that Abraham was a prophet. He was one who heard from him. So God is with you. They're saying, we recognize that God is with you in everything that you have done. Verse 23. Now swear to me in God here. And he says, you know, do not lie to me. Now, why would he say that? Well, because Avimelech comes from a culture where deceit is a norm. So he says, you know, don't deal falsely with me or my son or my grandson. So he sees this as having ongoing interpretation. What is happening here is going to have long-term implications, and Avimelech realizes it. He says in verse 23, but according to your chesed, grace, or loving kindness, or mercy, which I have done with you, do with me. And what was that? Well, here's this loving kindness that we're speaking of, this word chesed. The moment that Avimelech realized who Abraham was, that he was a prophet of God, that he was a servant of God, that he was an instrument of God. What did we learn in the previous chapter 2 weeks ago? That Avimelech, that he blessed Abraham. He gave him cattle and flocks and wealth, recognizing his call, God's call on Abraham's life. So he says basically, I understand God's choice of you, referring to Abraham's covenant. He recognizes that. And he says, you know, I want you to deal kindly with me. And what's this word kindly? Well, it's the word chesed, which says it's what God provides in order that his covenantal promises might become a realization in someone's life. That word can also be translated grace. So Avimelech and this general of his, Pichol, they are asking for a good thing. They want God's favor. They want his blessings in their life. And notice the response of Avraham Avinu. It says, well, let's finish it up. Verse 23 says, you know, deal kindly as we have dealt kindly with you, do also with me in the land which you have sojourned. Now, he just doesn't want for himself, but he also wants for the land that Avimelech is ruling over, which Avraham is dwelling in. Verse 24 now. And Avraham said, I swear. He agrees. Why? Well, he's got the character of God in his life. It is in the same way that it's God's nature to bless. Avraham is doing that same thing. He's also blessing. That's what Israel's supposed to do, bless the nations. So he swore. But notice verse 25. He makes this agreement, but there's kind of a condition, and that is that Avraham argued or he reproved Avimelech concerning the well of water which his servants, the servants of Avimelech, stole. Now, this is important because it speaks about a parcel of land. That Avimelech, and what are we talking about here? The Philistines. That's the area of land that we're speaking of. The Philistines are synonymous. They're not the same people, but they're related spiritually. We'll see that when we get into chapter 26 of Genesis to the Palestinians of today. And what we learn is that Avram says, you know, you're not going to find chesed from me. You're not going to find God's blessings. You're not going to be a recipient of his promises because of the land that you have stolen from me. And notice his response, speaking about Avimelech, verse 26. And Avimelech said, I did not know who did this, who has done this thing. Also, you have not told this to me, and also I have not heard about it until this day. So he's saying, I'm innocent. I'm not behind this. I'm not a stealer of land. Now, he's the king of the people who did. But what we find is this. God is not against people in a general sense. God doesn't say, because you're from that country, you are from that nation, you speak that language, you have that color skin. He doesn't say, because of that, I'm against you. No, God deals many times with the individual. And therefore, Avimelech is saying, I was not part of this. I had no knowledge of that until this day. Verse 27. And Avraham, he took a flock of sheep and cattle, and he gave it to Avimelech. Now, what is the significance of this? Well, as I said, 2 weeks ago, we saw that Avimelech, what did he do? He gave these things to Avraham. And what do we find? Well, when we bless the man of God. Now, the purpose here of the man of God is he is a physical example of God. So when Avimelech blessed Avraham, his purpose was, I want to bless God. And in that same way, when a person does that, what's the purpose? Well, the outcome and the purpose of that is God will bless you. And that's what Avram does. He blesses back Avimelech. He sets flock of sheep and cattle. He gives it to Avimelech. And what was the outcome? Here's the real blessing. And the two of them cut a covenant. That is, they made a covenant, but the word literally is to cut a covenant because you can't say make a covenant. In Hebrew, you can only say cut a covenant. And Avram stood 7 sheep by themselves. Now, this was for a testimony. And Avimelech said to Avram, what is here, these 7 sheep which you have set by themselves? Now, it is an example. A physical testimony, and that's what we're going to see. For example, if a man is going to get married, there is a ketubah, a marriage document. And the man will go with witnesses, and they will put this ketubah, this marriage document, into force. They will be signed by 2 witnesses, but it's not valid. It does not enter into force until when? Well, usually, the rab will say, here, the covenant of marriage is being established through this agreement, and do you agree? He just doesn't say yes. What does he do? Well, usually, he picks up something, lifts it over his hand. Usually, it's the pen that the 2 witnesses signed the ketubah with. He picks up something as a visible testimony of agreement. And this is what Avraham's doing here. It's part of the culture. So as a testimony, he puts these 7 sheep by themselves before Avimelech and before himself. And because of that, he says here, you know, what are these 7 sheep that you stand alone before us? And verse 30, and he said, because for these 7 sheep, you will take from me, in order that it shall be for a testimony that I have not, rendered void this well. Meaning that this is mine. I have not given it, It belongs to me. So the point is this. In order for Avimelech to enter into this covenant of blessing, what does he have to do? And this is so important. He has to recognize that land, in this case, the well, belonging to Abraham. It is only the recognition of the land belonging to Abraham that will allow this covenant to be also what? Also initiated for Avimelech, that he can be blessed by it. Verse 31. Therefore, they called the place, that place, Beer Shava. Beer meaning well, and Shava is oath. Now, it's important because there were 7 sheep placed by themselves at this testimony. 7 has to do with purpose. 7 have to do with holiness. And what we learn here is that all of this has to do with the purpose of God. And the term Beer Shava, or Beer Sheva, as it's sometimes called in modern Hebrew, is the number 7. So it's an oath, but it's also a play on words, because the word for oath and 7 are related, the same Hebrew root. Verse 32 in the second part, and Avimelech, he got up, and also Pichol, this general, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. Now, they're in this place, and the Philistines, well, if you read the Bible, you know that the Philistines are the enemies of God's people. But Avimelech in Pichol is an example of how two individuals can enter into a covenant, not a different covenant, but the same covenant that God made with Abraham. That's what this second covenant speaks to. That they are entering into a relationship with Abraham, so the blessings of that Abrahamic covenant can be upon them. Divine covenantal promises. Look at verse 33. Now, this is very important because it says, and he, meaning Abraham, but it says, and he planted Eshel. Now, an Eshel is a certain type of tree. But we also need to realize that same word can be spoken of as a Torah scholar. That is, someone who studies and knows God's testimonies, the Word of God. So even though, in a physical sense, Abraham planted a tree there, we can also see that Abraham planted a Torah scholar, someone who is in knowledge of God's Word, His principles, His covenantal truth. And notice what it says. And Abraham, literally, and he planted a tree in Beer Sheva. And he called upon the name of the Lord, El Olam, meaning the God of the world, or the eternal God. Now, he is the eternal God, but this word Olam can reference to the fact that God wants the world to enter into this covenantal, this same covenant. And Abraham dwelt in the land of the Philistines, and this is significant. He dwelt there for many days. Why did he dwell there for many days? Well, this is what the rabbis say. He dwelt there many days because he planted that scholar, a biblical scholar. That's what the word means today. It has two meanings, a tree, but, or a biblical scholar. And Abraham, he stayed there many days in that location, training, discipling, building up someone who can share truth with that nation. Not a different truth, not their own truth, but the same truth that God revealed to Abraham. So again, God is not a respecter of persons. This passage is a strong witness that God wants all people to find blessing. But you don't find blessing in your own covenant separated from the covenant that God made with Abraham. This whole passage teaches us the uniqueness of God's covenant with Abraham. And if we are not seed of Abraham, then we are not going to have the blessing And ultimately, there's that play on words, because we are the seed of Abraham, those who have faith in the seed of Abraham, and the seed of Abraham, according to Paul in Galatians 3:16, is Messiah. So in the same way that we are blessed through the Son, we saw that principle established earlier. It's the Son, if we have a connection with Him, just like Avimelech was seeking a connection with Avraham. If we have a connection with the Son, Messiah Yeshua, we are going to be brought into the Abrahamic covenant. That's what this passage is teaching us today. Well, I'll close with that until next week. May God bless you. May He teach you great truth through His word, that you might obey and be a living testimony of God's truth. Shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with Him. Shalom from Israel.